Now, WWLS, the sports animal, gives you an insider's look at Big 12 football. It's the Big 12 Two-Minute Drill with Craig Humphreys on WWLS, the sports animal.
Craig Humphreys with you. We take a quick trip around the league every Tuesday morning, and let's start today by bringing in Ryan Aber from the Oklahoma. Does a great job covering the Sooners. Sooners coming off that 37-31 victory at Kansas State on Saturday, and they will take on Texas coming up 11 o'clock on ABC this Saturday. First of all, Ryan, we appreciate you being with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me on this morning.
Well, I mean, Ryan, another close Oklahoma victory, but this time everything kind of flipped. I mean, going into the game, a lot of questions about Spencer Rattler and the Sooners' offense and offensive line. And the offense looked pretty good for the most part on Saturday, but now coming out of the game, there's questions about the Sooners' defense.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I'll start off with the offense there, and Oklahoma scored on, what was it, seven of their nine drives, only the interception, and then which basically served as a punt, and then the very end of the game where they took a knee, that was it as far as not scoring for the Sooners. So much better offensive day for Oklahoma. Spencer Rattler didn't try to force things and do too much, still weren't able to get the ball down the field in the passing game much, but we're able to figure out some different ways to be effective offensively, and we're also able to run the ball and protect better than they have in recent weeks. But then you look on the defensive side, and the big thing that stands out to me, and I wrote about this today in the Oklahoman, were all the missed tackles, and they sort of seem to come in bunches. They've been a fairly sure tackling team to this point in the season, with the exception of a little bit of that Tulane game, especially in the second half there, but that's something that they've certainly got to clear up here with Texas coming up on Saturday.
And to be fair, OU was missing a few defenders on Saturday against K-State. What is their status coming up for the game against Texas?
Yeah, we'll find out a little bit more today when we talk to Lincoln Riley, but it sounds like they're going to have a couple more of those secondary guys back. I know that there was a good chance that the Delarian Turner Yell is going to be back this weekend. We'll find out a little bit more about that a little bit later today. But it sounds like him and Danny Stutzman and a couple of those other guys, especially, again, the secondary guys, are close to returning. So, we'll see if they're able to get some guys back. But that could make a big difference, because as much as they dipped into that depth early in the season, that's disappeared in a lot of ways, and you see it just in the number of times that, or the number of snaps that Pat Fields is on the out there. His playing time is elevated, and that's something that they would prefer not to do for sure.
Okay, Ryan. Always storylines involving OU Texas, and this year, I mean, there's more than enough to choose from. Obviously, Sarkisian. And Sarkisian matching wits with Lincoln Riley. You have Casey Thompson, obviously, quarterbacking the Longhorns when Charles Thompson used to quarterback the Sooners. I mean, we could go on and on. Spencer Rattler, you know, opened the season as a Heisman candidate. Now you got Bijan Robinson doing great things for the Longhorns. What stands out to you among the storylines with the Texas game coming up?
Well, I think the two that really jump out to me are one, Steve Sarkisian, his first OU Texas game, and you know he's got some connections with some folks on the OU staff, most notably Dennis Simmons. Those guys coached together, played together. At BYU, they will get together again, and then also Casey Thompson. Not only for the fact that his dad played at OU and obviously was a very effective quarterback for the Sooners, but also the fact that he had every opportunity to flip to OU late in the recruiting process, decided to stick with it after bouncing around in high school a little bit, and then he's rewarded for staying at Texas and not trying to transfer away from there, finally earning the starting spot and getting a chance to prove what kind of quarterback he is. So certainly Casey Thompson's a guy who a lot of people will have an eye on this weekend, and then you know, with the, especially with the way their offense is rolling, with, like you mentioned, Bijan Robinson, the way he's running the ball.
Ryan Aber with the Oklahoman does a great job covering the Sooners. Ryan, we always appreciate your time. Thanks again.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
All right, now let's head south of the Red River, bring in Taylor Estes, managing editor for Horns 24/7, always kind enough to give us her time, especially the week of the OU-Texas game. Taylor, we appreciate your time.
Hey, Craig, great hearing from you. Happy to always join you.
Well, let's talk about the Longhorns, and the Longhorns coming off that win over TCU, and really a series where TCU has dominated for the most part over the previous 9 years, but Texas gets the victory 32-27 on Saturday. And we were just talking about Bijan Robinson, and he runs for a career high. Talk about his game on Saturday, because he had three or four runs that really just jump off the screen at you.
Yeah, I mean, just talk about the complete performance from Bijan Robinson. You know, finishes the game with 216 rushing yards. And, you know, Craig, I think the biggest thing that you look at it, Bijan Robinson in that game is his fourth quarter. I mean, in the first three quarters against TCU, he had 23 carries and 123 rushing yards. And then in the fourth quarter alone, he added 12 more carries and 93 more yards when the game still was up in the air. Texas really hadn't sealed the deal yet or anything. This wasn't, you know, a blowout in any means, especially with TCU, you know, cutting the Longhorns lead 32-27, you know, with, I believe it was 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter. But Bijan Robinson is a player, prior to this game, he had never had more than 20 carries in a single game. He talked about, even in high school, he never even got 20 carries in a single game. So the fact alone that he finished with, you know, 238 all-purpose yards, 216 rushing yards on 35 carries, with 12 of them coming in, you know, crunch time when it mattered most, and he still managed to put up, you know, runs of 9 yards to get a key third down that led to Texas getting that final touchdown that they scored when Casey Thompson hit Jordan Whittington for a 32-yard touchdown. You know, Texas had been terrible on third downs leading into the fourth quarter, and still were, you know, that has been a struggle for Texas in this game against TCU. But, you know, then he follows it up with, you know, gains of 17 yards, 14 yards, 17 yards, and really, truly put this game on his back. Now, you know, obviously Texas can't expect this every single week, because, you know, with running backs and the way that Bijan Robinson runs and how he almost uses, you know, contact as leverage to get yards after contact, you don't want to beat him up too much. But the fact alone that he was able to do that in a game with the game on the line and really, really put it on his back really showed, I think, the, you know, how impressive of a you know, running back that this guy is. And I said in a few interviews leading into this Texas OU game, obviously it's a different situation going up against this OU run defense, you know, that's ranked seventh nationally in the country. But, you know, I think that if he could follow up that TCU performance with a solid performance against this talented run defense in Oklahoma, then we may see, you know, that defining Heisman moment type of game for him if that does continue, especially with all eyes of college football on this year's Red River Shootout.
Talking to Taylor Estes, Horns 24/7. Taylor, we also mentioned Casey Thompson, the Texas quarterback, and he did not have his greatest day by numbers on Saturday, as he only threw for, what, 142 yards. I mean, he did rush for 35 and so forth. But the thing is, ever since he has taken over, all they do is win and all they do is score touchdowns. Right, Taylor?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, there's just something about Casey Thompson. When he comes in the game, the offense really rolls. And, you know, Steve Sarkisian, I think, was surprised by it. He's kind of talked about that. You know, there's very a lot of times when people, especially first-time starters, you know, they may, you know, even with like big games or anything, kind of get in their own head and get worried and start questioning, you know, their preparation, questioning their training and everything, where he said that Casey Thompson is a special character or a special player in that he gets up even more so when he is called upon. And he said that's truly not a characteristic that quarterback Steve Sarkisian has coached, or that all quarterbacks that Steve Sarkisian has coached has had, But the reality is that's what Casey Thompson is. And you're right, you know, he didn't have his best passing performance, but he didn't need it really either when Bijan Robinson kind of took over from there. Texas still has yet to really play a complete game, but Steve Sarkisian said during his Monday press conference about how, you know, they're playing really complementary football because when one, you know, area of the game plan, whether it's on offense or defense, is struggling, it seems that the other side, you know, picks it up. And so there's not really a huge issue there. And I think that all starts with Casey Thompson. He's so laser focused on details. He talks about the amount of preparation, the amount of film that he watches. He is one of his teammates, Xavier Worthy, the true freshman wide receiver, called him OCD because he's so laser focused on those details. And it's really paying off for Texas. But he's definitely, you know, has that gamer mentality. He's been kind of an underdog ever since he's been at Texas. He's been somebody that more people always question than they gave the benefit of the doubt to. And he, at this point, is absolutely proving them wrong, with how the Texas offense has really transformed since he was named the starter following that terrible performance against Arkansas.
Talking to Taylor Estes, Horns 24/7. Taylor, let's look at the other side of the ball for the Longhorns, and that is the concern, I would have to say, for Texas coming into this game. The defense, which gave up 471 yards in the Arkansas game, and I think the Razorbacks rushed for 333 in that one. So talk about how things are coming together defensive-wise for the Longhorns.
Yeah, you know, Steve Sarkisian has talked about this a lot, and it seems to be almost every week. He feels that the defense has yet to put together a four-quarter performance this season. And even in some of the wins, you know, you go back to that Texas Tech game, obviously, Texas won 70-35, I believe it was. And a lot of, you know, the points and stuff that, and the yards that Texas Tech was able to get came in like later in the game. And so Steve Sarkisian's been really focusing on trying to get this defense to play the full four quarters and not, you know, let off the throttle just because, even if they have a commanding lead. You haven't really seen that yet, but you know, I think that this isn't going to be a really, really interesting matchup, I think, against Oklahoma. I know some people are kind of down on the Sooners or questioning the offense this year, but, you know, Spencer Rattler has the ability to pick apart any defense, in my opinion. I think he's really talented. Now, he may not have been showing it in every single game this year, but still, you know, if he clicks, this could be a trouble for Texas. But I think that the defense is playing well enough, you know, to win these games, but they're going to have to step it up. I think going against this Oklahoma offense, it always seems like Lincoln Riley has that offense just absolutely ready to put it to Texas every time that, you know, they faced off since he's been at Oklahoma.
Taylor, we always appreciate your time. Thanks again.
Thanks so much, Craig.
All right, Taylor Estes, managing editor of Horns 24/7.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Now let's head to West Virginia, bring in Kevin Kinder with BlueGoldNews.com. Kevin, we appreciate your time this morning.
Craig, good morning. Always a pleasure to join you all.
Well, I have to admit, I was surprised Saturday. I expected West Virginia, you know, to beat Texas Tech on Saturday. Tech gets the win 23-20. And so Neil Brown's third loss and as many tries in that series. Talk about what went wrong on Saturday for the Mountaineers.
First, I have to give some credit to Texas Tech. They really executed their game plan well. Short passes, got the ball out quick. West Virginia finally figured out ways to get to the quarterback a little bit and get some pressure. But other than an ill-advised heave on a trick play pass attempt, they didn't turn the ball over. They just did a lot of things well. West Virginia in the first half did nothing well. Its offense was abysmal. Offensive line could not block for anybody, either the run or the pass game. Had just about 100 yards of total offense. Basically dug themselves too big of a hole. And then at the end of the game, it was almost a mirror image of the Oklahoma game last week. West Virginia had a couple of critical penalties on its last drives that set it back, forced it to kick a field goal, and then had a last drive where it had played defense pretty well the whole game, but could not get a stop on the last drive, give up a game-winning field goal.
Well, the Mountaineers have played so many tight games this year. I mean, you go back to the opener at Maryland, and it's a six-point loss, and they have the big win against Virginia Tech, again, a six-point win. Then you mentioned the Oklahoma game, playing Oklahoma right down to the wire and losing by three, and then another three-point loss to Texas Tech. Now they go on the road, take on a Baylor team, which has been somewhat of a surprise. I know they lost OSU last weekend, but 11 o'clock game coming up on FS1 on Saturday. Give us a little preview of the Baylor game.
Well, West Virginia has to figure out how to score consistently. I mean, it doesn't have an offense that's going to score in the 40s, but it's got to, you know, do better and not have four or five consecutive non-scoring drives or just kick a field goal. It's got to figure out a way to get from, you know, the 20s into, you know, around 30 or so to have a chance to win. Defensively, if it keeps playing the way it has for the most part, it should be okay, but this is on the offense, on the line, on the quarterback, pretty much on everybody except for Letty Brown and a couple of the receivers to play a little bit better. I agree with you. Baylor's doing better than people have expected. But, you know, again, to me, it hasn't been anything, you know, totally wild or outrageous. They've been executing what they've done pretty well. They've gotten solid quarterback play, which is always a key, you know, for any team in college football, and have taken advantage of chances when they've presented themselves. Iowa State game, you know, one in question two is, you know, looking at that one, for example. I think the Bears have taken advantage of every chance they've had, and that's why they've got a good record.
Kevin, we always appreciate it. Thanks again.
Always. Thanks a lot, Craig.
All right, Kevin Kinder, BlueGoldNews.com, covering the West Virginia Mountaineers. Again, they'll take on Baylor 11 o'clock on Saturday morning on FS1. Craig Humphreys with you as we head to Lubbock, Texas. Bring in Chris Level, RedRaidersSports.com, part of the Rivals Network, also does radio sidelines for the Red Raiders. And, Chris, we always appreciate your time. Thanks again.
Yes, sir. Craig, how are you this morning?
Doing just great, and a big win for Texas Tech at West Virginia. A much-needed win, I would have to say, for Matt Wells, coming off the 70-35 loss at Texas. But you go into Morgantown, get the victory 23-20. In a game, Chris, right, where the Red Raiders jump on the Mountaineers, led the game 17-0 at halftime, and then West Virginia storms back, and it's tied at 17, and then it's finally tied at 20. And finally, Tech gets the field goal with, what, 18 seconds to go and pulls out the victory. Talk about that win over West Virginia.
Yeah, I think it was you weren't sure what kind of effort you were going to get. I mean, I think they were hopeful around here that, you know, you would bounce back and just play much better, because the week before was embarrassing. And everybody knew that. Everybody talked about that. But, you know, going to Austin, it was ugly. And so you weren't real sure what you were going to get in the second of a back-to-back road trip. And then you factor in, you know, your starting quarterback was out, your starting running back was out, your best wide receiver was out, your starting center was out. You lost one of your starting safeties. So you went up to Morgantown with missing a bunch of guys, but they figured out a way. And nobody cares about these injuries. Everybody's got them. Everybody deals with it, but nobody cares. You just have to figure out a way, and that's what they did. But it was a very well-played game. There was a lot of, you know, I think they strained. There was a lot of effort. You know, it was a kind of a tale of two halves, but you really played well in that first half, and you made just enough plays in that fourth quarter to kick a couple of field goals on a couple of drives that was enough to win it. And your defense played so much better than they had the week before. So it was, it was certainly a win around here that everybody felt good about.
Well, and talk about what's going on at quarterback right now for Texas Tech. I know Henry Columbia forced into action due to the injury there. Talk about his play and what's going on at quarterback.
Yeah, Henry, you know, he's got to be one of the most experienced, like, backup type guys in the country, if you think of him that way. I mean, he competed his tail off in the offseason, and He didn't win the job. Tyler Shuck won that job, and everybody around here was excited about Tyler and the way he carries himself and, you know, his big frame and his experience at Oregon. But Henry just kind of kept grinding. And so I think Sonny Cumbie, the offensive coordinator, was more than okay with handing the reins over to Henry when Tyler went down in Austin. And Tyler's going to be out for the next 5 to 7 weeks. You know, you're not real sure what the timetable looks like there, but, you know, there's 2 months of football left, but Henry's going to play the bulk of it. And, you know, he's an older kid. He's a senior. He's matured. He's started plenty of games, including last year in this league. And, you know, it's just interesting because he played against West Virginia last year, and then he played against TCU, who they've got this week. He played against them last year. So he's seen a lot of these teams before. But, yeah, he's just no drama with him. He's just nice and steady. It may not be very sexy at times, but it's just nice and steady. And as long as he takes care of the ball, he'll do a good job for you.
Talking to Chris Level, RedRaidersports.com. And Chris, you mentioned TCU coming to Lubbock this week, 6 o'clock game on ESPN on Saturday night. TCU, of course, coming off a close loss against Texas last week. Tech coming off that victory. Handicap this one for us.
Yeah, you know, I think sometimes it's about when you play people. I don't know if it's the best time to be playing TCU. Maybe it will be, but I think it's, you know, their season hangs in the balance after losing 2 in a row to both the home games to SMU and Texas. And, you know, they've got road trips staring at them, you know, here in Lubbock and then in Norman, Oklahoma the week after. So this is a motivated TCU team. I'm expecting Tech to get their best shot. And, you know, Gary Patterson's defense has not played well. That is not traditionally how they have finished and what they look like. And so you would expect, based on past history, that he will get a lot of that fixed. There's a lot of talent in Fort Worth. So, yeah, this will be a tough one in a night game in Lubbock. And I'm still trying to figure out who this Texas Tech team is. Are they closer to what we saw in Austin, or are they closer to what we saw in Morgantown, you know, or versus Houston to open the season? I'm still not real sure yet.
Yeah. Red Raiders, 4-1 on the season, 1-1 in conference. And again, TCU coming up on Saturday. He is Chris Level, RedRaidersports.com, part of the Rivals Network. Chris, we always appreciate your time. Thanks again.
Hey, thank you, Craig. Keep hope alive. Have a good rest of the week, sir.
You bet. Thank you. And let's finish off the Big 12 two-minute drill by bringing in Scott Wright with the Oklahoma. Does a great job covering the Cowboys. Scott, thanks for your time this morning.
Hey, Craig. How are you, man?
I'm doing just great. And, of course, OSU coming off that 24-14 win over Baylor. And the Cowboys now 5-0. They have yet to allow more than 23 points in a game. They've held 2 straight Big 12 opponents, K-State and Baylor, to under 300 yards. So Cowboys got to feel very good about what's going on the defensive side of the ball.
Absolutely. Everything is clicking over there. They've been faced with some injuries, and guys have stepped up, and you haven't noticed a big drop-off. The third down defense has risen to the challenge again. They were the best in the country on third downs a year ago, and they're starting to pick that back up. Now 2 of 12 for Kansas State last week, and then over the weekend 3 of 15 for Baylor. On third downs, just really impressive at getting off the field. Even though they're not getting a ton of turnovers, they're getting off the field when they've got to. They're really good in short yardage downs. Really good against the run against Baylor when they had been running the ball pretty well on just about everybody they had faced. So really pleased with the way the defense is playing at Oklahoma State right now.
Talking with Scott Wright of the Oklahoman, the Cowboys, of course, have a bye this week. Their next game coming up at Texas on October the 16th. But let's talk about the offensive side of the ball. And obviously, Spencer Sanders, I guess you wouldn't call Saturday against Baylor one of his better games. He did throw the 3 picks. You could argue that one of them was not his fault when went through the receiver's hands and hit the helmet and deflected up in the air. But Sanders did contribute. He had 12 carries for 76 yards rushing. Talk about his play not only against Baylor but so far this season.
Yeah, it's it was a little bit of a step back after he'd had 2 really good games where he hadn't thrown a pick or turned the ball over at all, which was the first time in his career that he had done that. So he was, and he was coming off really one of his better all-around performances from that Kansas State game, and then and does have a couple of picks that were on bad throws, and he missed a few throws, particularly early in that Baylor game, that lets you know that he was a little bit off that day. But he did take off and run the ball well, had some really crucial runs, a really tough one on a 3rd and 11 play where he gained 9 yards. And set up the game ending touchdown at the 4 yard line. So it was a tough one to stomach for some Oklahoma State fans because it felt like he had reverted to his old self. But he did help them finish it off and pull it out. But they need Sanders to get back to what he looked like in that first half against Kansas State. That's really some of the best football he's played in his career and showed what he's capable of in this offense. So that's the direction they need him to go more so than what they saw at Baylor.
Well, and the bright spot of the offense has been their ability to run the ball, especially in recent games. Like in the first quarter the other day, the Cowboys gained 114 yards on 20 running plays and 60 yards on 12 carries from Jaylen Warren. I know his yards per carry went down as the game went on, but still, he had 125 yards, a couple of touchdowns, a big touchdown late. Talk about the play of Jaylen Warren.
It's so crazy to be sitting here now talking about how good they're running the ball, because after 2 weeks, we were wondering if they could run the ball at all. And Jaylen Warren has emerged as a workhorse and a playmaker in that running game, and the offensive line has really improved. But Warren is the early MVP of this team, because they went from a 4-man backfield to having a couple of those guys get hurt and kind of wondering who was going to emerge from that group and be kind of the star that you could lean on, and Warren scooped up that opportunity really quickly there at Boise State and has no pun intended, he's run with it. He's had over 30 touches a game each of the last 3 weeks when you add in his receiving touches. So he's really become the heart and soul of his offense in terms of keeping them alive and keeping them moving when the passing game has had its issues, with whether it was injuries or interceptions or whatever it might be. The running game has become the part they can rely on.
He is Scott Wright with the Oklahoma. And, of course, the Cowboys have a bye this week. They're going to be at Texas coming up October 16th. We'll talk more about that next week. But thanks again for your time, Scott.
Absolutely. Thanks, Craig.
Scott Wright with the Oklahoma. And also our thanks to Chris Level with RedRaiderSports.com, Kevin Kender with BlueGoldNews.com, Taylor Estes, managing editor of Horns 24/7, and Ryan Aber with the Oklahoma.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.